This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is titled, Beautiful Scars, Easter, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on April 21st, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Beautiful scars. As you watch those sadistic Roman guards lash Jesus on the back and beat him, you saw him spit on and abused horribly. Every one of those scars was a beautiful scar. I heard the story of a little girl in Sunday school class. And the teacher was telling the Sunday school class the story of Jesus' death and resurrection and how he came from the tomb and came alive on Easter Sunday morning. And the kids were excited listening to the story. And the teacher asked the question, what do you think Jesus' first words were when he came out of the tomb on that Easter morning? Boy, the kids, they were thinking about this, and one little girl got really excited, and she's like frantically waving her hand, you know, and she can't hardly stay in her seat. She's so excited. She can't wait to share the answer that she thinks is the right answer, of course. And finally, because of the little girl's enthusiasm, the teacher looks at her and says, what do you think? What do you think his first words were? And she says, I know what they were. Ta-da! Not exactly, but not bad either, you know? Not bad. In fact, this morning I want to share a passage with you. It's a really interesting passage, and it just kind of jumped off the pages for me this year, and it's one I don't think I've ever preached from on an Easter Sunday. By the way, the cross still stood through the fire. Did you see that picture of Notre Dame? Isn't that powerful? See the smoke and the ashes going up? What a horrible tragedy this week that the beautiful chapel of Notre Dame was in flames and the spires came down, but the cross still stood through the fire. Isn't that symbolic and powerful? John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there with me. I want to read two portions of Scripture from John 20 this morning. It says, then the same day... This is the same day that we read about earlier when the women had went to the tomb. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, actually this is the day after, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now, Scripture's kind of funny, and I find some humor in it that sometimes we pass over. They're afraid, they're shut in, they're locked in, and all of a sudden Jesus comes right through the walls, right through the locked doors, and he's right there in their midst. And of course, what are you going to say when you first enter a room where nobody opened the door and let you in? You just popped into the room supernaturally. First thing, peace be with you, because they're not exactly at peace when all of a sudden Jesus shows up in the room. It's kind of a little scary. Peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He kind of did a ta-da. He kind of did that. He's like, look here. I have something to show you. And I think this is so powerful. This really, really powerful. He showed them his hands. He even shows them the side where the spear was thrust in by the Roman guard to make sure he was dead. And then his disciples were glad. When they saw the Lord. In the NIV, it says they were overjoyed. I mean, they're coming unglued at this point. Because their hopes, they thought all their hopes were dashed with the death of Jesus. They thought it was all over. They thought the story had come to an end, but it had only just begun. The good stuff was ahead. Verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord, Thomas. So he said to them, hey, but unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe. In other words, he'd heard their report. They had said to him, he showed up right here behind a closed door, and first thing he did is he showed us his scars. We saw them. It was him. We know it wasn't really a hallucination. It wasn't a vision. I've risen from the dead. We touched those scars. And Thomas, not believing, says, yeah, but unless I get to put my hands into the print of those nails, unless I get to put my finger into his side, I'm not going to believe. I'm just stubborn in that way. And some of you here this morning are kind of that way, and you've wrestled with faith. You've wrestled with the idea of faith. And I just got to say to you, Jesus cares so much about you, he'll go out of his way to reveal himself to you personally. If you'll just say, just like Thomas did, because I think Thomas gets somewhat of a bad rap. Sometimes we call him Doubting Thomas. My middle name, by the way, is Thomas. I don't like that when we call him Doubting Thomas. Because I'm not a doubter anymore. I'm a believer. Because I've touched him, and I know he's real. And he's changed my life and made it so much better. But I do believe this, that if we sincerely, authentically, and I think Thomas is authentically wanting to encounter Jesus on his own, and some of you are here this morning, this Easter morning, and quite honestly, you're not quite sure what to think about Jesus. You've heard about him. You know a little bit of the history. You know a little bit of the word. You probably haven't read it thoroughly. Maybe you haven't studied it fully. Maybe you're on the fence. If you just say, you know what? Man, I want to know if you're real, Lord. If you say that really from your heart, I think he'll show himself to you. I think he knows how to meet you right where you are. Jesus came, the doors being shut. Once again, he pops into the room. I love it. Boop, there he is, into the room, and he says to Thomas, he's heard Thomas. He knows Thomas's heart to want a personal encounter, and he says to him, reach your finger here. Look at my hands, Thomas. Reach your hand here. Put it right here into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Why is the first thing that Jesus kind of does with these disciples? Why is the first thing show them his scars? I think there's a lot of reasons. You know, authentic. He's real. I don't know about you, there's industries that are built cosmetically to cover up scars. Most of us are embarrassed by our scars. We try to cover them up. I had surgery a couple of years ago, and I had to go through a fairly rigorous routine on a daily basis to try to get the scar to go away. Some of you have done similar things. We're embarrassed of our scars. We don't want to show them off, that's for sure. We want to cover them up. We want to hide them. But not Jesus. He says to the disciples, look, it's me. This isn't a vision. I'm not a hallucination in your mind. I want you to literally reach in and touch me. I want you to be absolutely 100% sure it's me. No mistaking whatsoever. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. Maybe you haven't thought about this. This is after the resurrection. This is after the resurrection. The Bible talks about that we're all going to die. And if we're believers in Christ, we're going to have a resurrected body. You know, we'll all, you know, if we die before Jesus returns, we'll be buried and, you know, dust to dust. We'll go back into the soil. But when Jesus comes again, he's going to resurrect all the dead. We're going to meet him in the sky. It's going to be wonderful and glorious, and you're going to have a resurrected body. And sometimes at church, we joke around about things like that, even though they're scriptural, theological truths. And you know, for me, my resurrection body, I'm hoping to make some changes. I'm planning to trade my one pack for a six pack. You know, I've got some scars that I'm hoping for some new smooth skin, you know? But it's interesting, in Jesus' resurrected body, he still has the scars. Somebody said that the only imperfection, maybe the only man-made thing even, that's going to be in heaven one day is Jesus' scars. I want you to think about this. Every scar that those sadistic and cruel Roman guards put upon his body, every scar from the taking the crown of thorns and jamming it onto his head, can you imagine all the places around his temple, his head, and that's sensitive skin and areas. All the scars from that, all the scars from that lashing that he took upon his back, 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails that had lead and glass built into it so that when it hit your back and they pulled it out, it just ripped skin off. All the scars, the hands, the feet, the side, every one of those scars, they're still going to be on his body. When you and I come into his presence in heaven one day, we're going to see them. They're going to be a visible reminder of his love and sacrifice for us. I think it's why he didn't choose to just forego them. He could have had a perfect new resurrected body. No scars. But no, these scars are beautiful. These scars have a message. Most scars do. Most scars have a message. They even have a story. I've got several scars. I'm not going to bore you with all my scar stories this morning. But I have several scars, and every scar has kind of a story. And scars are not just physical. Sometimes scars are emotional. I've got a scar on my mouth, my tongue even. I'm a little boy, I'm riding my bike, I'm so excited. We lived on a corner lot, and we've got this driveway that circles through our lot, and I'm riding one day, I don't even know how old I am, maybe 5, 6 years old. And as I come down on my bicycle, I'm so excited, I'm pedaling as fast as I can. I come to the end of my driveway, and there's that little groove, you know, where the water drains, and I hit that, I go flipping over top of my bicycle, and I do a face plant right into the concrete. I break my teeth out, my front teeth. My tooth goes through my tongue, my lip. I'm bleeding like crazy. It was one painful bike wreck. I had to go to the dentist. I had to go to the doctor. I had to get sewed up, stitched up. I had to get my teeth replaced. For a long time, I looked like the snaggletooth tiger. I had this tooth that was just jagged and broken out. Wasn't exactly fun. It wasn't exactly popular, didn't exactly make me look the best. It was a painful, painful incident. I could have easily, some of you know, I love to ride bikes. I just got a new bike not long ago. I'm excited, and Tracy and I got some bike trips planned. Could have all been stolen right there at 5 years old. Could have just said, you know, that's not for me anymore. Whew. I'm glad I didn't decide that. I'm glad I didn't let that take that away from me. I've got another scar right here over my eye, and you know, there's quite a story behind it. I'm out deer hunting with my grandfather, who I love so dearly, and I hadn't gotten a deer, and he was trying so hard for me to get a deer. It would have been my first, and it was starting to get dark, and out behind the house, we were out in the country in a farmhouse. As the light was going down, there were some deer that came way out in the back field. There was a cornfield. And there they were, and it was the perfect opportunity. My grandfather's like, get your gun, get ready. And so I put my gun, and I shot my gun many times. You know, I was pretty good at it, and I'm maybe 12, 13 at this point. But I lay it across the truck and to steady it, and I'm looking, and I can't hardly see the deer. It's just getting dark, but I'm trying so hard, and I want to get him so bad. Forgive me, those of you who are hunters. You'll see I didn't get the deer, so anyway, don't be upset. So I, you know, I'm trying so hard, and I forget to put my shoulder up against the butt of the gun. I'd never done that before, but in that circumstance, with the adrenaline flowing, and when I squeeze gently the trigger of that .30-06, it recoiled right into my head. And the scope went right into my eye. And I didn't know what had happened for a little bit. I just, you know, it stunned me. We were way out in the middle of the country. It's getting late at night. There's no hospitals around. I remember saying to my grandfather, he got some butterfly bandages and was trying to patch me up and said, I think we might have to go to the hospital. I said, no, I don't want to go to the hospital. Just let him call me Scarface. I don't care. You know, trying to be tough at 12 years old or something. And I've had a pretty good scar there for the rest of my life. I've got a scar on my forearm. I can't show it to you because my suit coat, Tracy let me actually dress up today. But I remember, I'd gotten this new group of friends. I'd become a Christian, and I had this group of friends. They were crazy. They were just crazy, certifiably crazy. And they loved the Lord. Man, they really did. They discipled me in Christ, but these guys would do nuts, the stuff that was nuts. And back behind my house, I lived on a private street, and behind my house, there was Floyd's Fork River, which has become quite popular now with the Parklands. And you could walk down the back of my backyard to the river. And we would play. There was a big bottom down there, and we would play capture the flag and stuff like that. And there was a big cliff. This one place, there was a big cliff. And my friends decided to do this act of bravado, you know. We were teenage boys and wanted to show off. And there was this cliff, and it probably was 30 feet down. Something like that. It was a good long ways down. I remember standing there as they started doing this thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do this now. What are they doing? And they got to this cliff and they spotted a tree out there and they said, we could jump off this cliff, grab the tree and then shimmy down. Like a fireman pole type thing, you know? And I'm going, and what if we miss? We're going to die. And the first friend, he runs and jumps and grabs the tree and shimmies down. And the tree's from here to this front row. It's not a short jump. And I'm thinking, my word, am I going to make it? But my turn came, and sure enough, I ran and I jumped. I grabbed that tree, man, with everything in me. And I was so thankful when I got the tree. And then I was just like, now let's just get to the ground. Let's get this over with, you know? I've shown that I'm brave. I've shown that I can, you know, keep up with my friends. And as soon as I let loose just a little bit, I went down that tree, and my arm just was like hamburger meat when I got to the bottom of the tree. I was like, oh my gosh. And I was just a bloody mess. Every scar, you know, has a story. We guys, we like to tell them, go, how'd you get your scar? Well, we guys, we kind of get into that. But this morning, I want to remind you that Jesus' scars, they're beautiful. And because of his scars, we can be saved. We can be transformed. Because of his scars, Scripture says we can be healed. Physically and emotionally. His scars, which he shows to them, they're reminders of his sacrificial love. They tell a story of his willingness, his absolute willingness to give his life for all of us. They come with a message, and it's the message, I paid a price for you out of love for you. Scars, let me just tell you what a scar is. Let me give you a quick definition. A scar is a place in our lives where pain has left a permanent mark in our bodies and or in our memories or in our psyche. A scar can be physical. We can see it. Or it can be emotional or mental. And it was inside and you don't readily see it, but it affects you. It's left a permanent mark. And this is what's so important, and I want us to think about today, because those scars, those physical, those emotional, those mental scars that came through words or events or trauma. They'll change the way we live. They can change the way we relate to one another, in our marriages, even the way we see our own selves. Oftentimes, they'll change the way we view God. Scars, they impact us. And it's often in a really negative way. Let me make this statement here this morning. If you're taking notes, you should write this down. The thing that limits people more than anything, perhaps, is the unhealed wounds or scars in our lives. Those scars, they represent the emotional pain that might still be trapped deep within us. And here's what I believe, and this is from 30 plus years of experience. I believe people grow to the level of their emotional pain, and then they stop growing unless they deal with it, unless they surrender it, unless they allow it to be healed. Unless you deal constructively with it, if you refuse to deal with it, refuse to look at it, it's going to limit you, it's going to limit your growth, and it's ultimately going to put a lid on your life. Just like screwing a lid on a jar, maybe you've got some little critter in there, a firefly or something, and it can only jump that high, and every time it hits the lid, it goes back down. Hits the lid, goes back down. It'll be the same way in your life. Until you deal with those scars, those emotional pains, those wounds deep within, it's going to limit you. It's going to stop you from growing. John Eldridge says it this way, a wound that goes unacknowledged and unwept is a wound that cannot heal. And here's the good news this morning. Jesus can redeem and heal our scars. That's really what Easter's all about. He's showing us his scars because he wants to heal our scars. He took scars on himself so you and I wouldn't have to be defined by our scars. He knows the pain that we go through. He absolutely does. You may think to yourself, I don't know if he understands me. I don't know if he understands where I'm at. Listen, he experienced everything that you and I experience on this earth. He may not have went through the exact scenario, but he understands it. He experienced it. He experienced betrayal. He experienced severe rejection. He experienced fatigue, abandonment, sadness, depression, hurt, abuse, physical and verbal, worse than you can even imagine. He understands. He's been there. He's walked through it. It's why he came. He wanted to be able to relate to you and I in a very personal and powerful way. So I want to remind you this morning, how we deal with emotional pain will decide our level of growth and will ultimately determine how much God can use our lives. I've seen this over and over again in many people's lives for over 30 years. I've given time and energy to help people, and I've seen this cycle repeat itself over and over again. People only grow to the level of their emotional pain, and if they refuse to deal with it ultimately, they'll go back down. They'll go back down. They won't grow beyond that. It'll put a lid on their growth. I've seen it in marriages. They only grow to the amount of their emotional pain. Then if they don't deal with it, and sometimes it takes a good amount of counsel and surrender and work, ultimately the marriage will begin to crumble. It'll begin to fall apart. Emotional pain's like an indicator, like that signal on the dashboard of your car that pops on, that something needs to be dealt with. And if you don't deal with it soon, you're probably going to have some problems. When your pain is not healed, listen, it'll continue to scar the people around you. Your scars will lead to others' scars. Hurt people ultimately end up hurting people. Let me just tell you, the worst thing about the pain is not the pain. It's the message that it brings. Almost all of our scars, all of our wounds, all the trauma, all the difficulty, all the stuff we've been through in life, it carries with it a message. What are the source of our scars? Let's look at them. Number one's rejection. I believe this is one of the biggest. We all so want to be loved and accepted, and yet we often experience rejection. I experienced this myself and have throughout life. I was an only child. I felt at times rejected at school. I felt at times that I didn't fit in. I kind of was a quirky kid, kind of shy, and didn't want the spotlight on me, and just kind of, you know, tried to kind of keep a low profile. And when I was young, I was kind of overweight and chubby, and you know, you don't get picked for the team first off, and it's hurtful. You get left out. There's rejection that comes. There's unkind words that are spoken about you. We all fear rejection. And rejection happens to all of us. If I were to take a poll and say, how many of you at some point in your life have felt rejected? I bet 100% of us, if we were honest, would say, yeah, I felt rejected at times. For whatever reason. The way I look, the way I talk, the way I acted, the color of my skin, where I grew up at, my education. I don't know. It can be all kinds of different stuff. We just want to be accepted and loved. And yet we often experience rejection, and it wounds us. It leaves a scar deep down inside. You know what heals rejection? Perfect love. Because when you get rejected, you fear rejection. There's a fear of rejection that settles in. The only thing that'll get rid of that fear is perfect love. That's why God's word says that his love for us is perfect, and his perfect love casts out fear. You want to be healed of that? Come to the place where you understand and know deep down within you that God loves you just as you are. He loves you. He made you. He created you. He cares about you. You are loved and valued and accepted in him. And his love heals that rejection. Second is failure. We don't live up to somebody else's expectations. To be honest, we often don't live up to our own expectations. We fail, and it hurts. And sometimes rather than learning from it, we just get stuck in our failure. How about abuse? Abuse is horrible, but it's a reality in this sinful earth that we live in. It happens physically, verbally, emotionally, and it deeply wounds us. And it makes us feel the message is that we're unworthy of love. That somehow it was our fault. That somehow we did something wrong. That somehow deep within us, there's something bad. There's something wrong about us. That's not the way God feels about you. That's not the message he wants to convey to you. If we have father issues, a lot of times abuse comes at the hands of our very own father, and a lot of people have been hurt there. If you have father issues, I can guarantee you have God issues. Can I just say to you, God wants to heal that? Where your father was imperfect and made mistakes and didn't love you unconditionally the way he should have, God wants to heal that. His love wants to come in and restore what's been hurt deep within you. How about betrayal? I've been betrayed more times than I could count even. We get betrayed by our friends, our families, generally somebody close to us, or it wouldn't really even hurt. They left us, or they didn't protect us. How about tragedy? Sometimes the loss of a loved one. I've lost all four of my closest family members suddenly. There wasn't a one that I had a warning. Every one of them went quickly, and it was tragic, and it was difficult, and maybe you've gone through something tragic. It can be any one of those things that leaves a scar. And the message that comes attached to the scar is something like this: you're not worthy. You're not special. Something's wrong with you. You're on your own in this world. Where was God when this horrible thing happened to you? You're never going to measure up. You're just a disappointment. And then ultimately, don't ever trust again. Don't ever trust again. The devil, and I believe there is absolutely a presence of evil at work within this world. Call him the enemy, the devil. I believe he's the hurt whisperer. I believe he's really keen at this. When the scar comes, the wound comes, he's always there to speak into it and to get us to frame it in the wrong way, to get us to turn against our own selves so that we hate our own selves. If you're dealing with self-hatred, can I just say to you, that's not of God. Because God loves you. He really does. And you're precious and valuable in his sight. He's always there at every trauma, every tragedy, every hurt to whisper his lies into your heart and to convince you that you are not worthy. Four ways he keeps us in pain: unresolved anger and unforgiveness. Over 80% of people in church are dealing with unforgiveness. Somebody's hurt us and we're having a hard time letting go of it. And you know why oftentimes that is? Because we think if we do, then they're not going to get their justice. They're going to get off free. We're seeing it wrong. We're seeing it wrong. Beth Moore said this the other day, and it touched me deeply. She said, the brutal irony of unforgiveness is it keeps us bound to the very people we most want to be free of. They are roped to our backs and go everywhere we go. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a freedom. It's coming into agreement with God to cut them loose and put them in his hands where there is ultimate justice. God help us. Some of those roped to our backs are corpses. No wonder life stinks so bad. It's time to cut them loose. Unforgiveness will keep you mired in that place of woundedness and scarred on the inside. Second is self-pity. We become victims and we begin to see ourselves that way, that we're just victimized by this world and its sinfulness, and it's easy to stay there. And I'll be honest with you, that's not going to help you at all. Shame and denial. We feel not just bad about ourselves, we feel we are bad. Something's been so marked in us and so scarred in us that nothing can help us. We're beyond help. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. And then that leads to fear and escape. We're so locked up in fear or lost in escape that addictive behaviors are our choice of freedom. We think, man, I'll just get intoxicated. Just to take the edge off, the pain off, to not have to deal with this pain. I'll turn to drugs. I'll turn to sex addiction, whatever it is, pornography. We look for ways to escape so that we're just trying to escape from that nagging feeling deep down inside us. Let me tell you the good news here this morning. Your places of past pain, your scars, your stripes, your wounds can become places of great healing for others. God is a God who's able to take the very worst things that have happened in your life and somehow use them for incredible good for others. Oftentimes, your greatest ministry is that place of your greatest pain. It's that place where you struggled, where life was difficult, but you turned to Christ. You turned to his love, his comfort, and he helped you through it. And now all of a sudden, you become someone who can comfort and help others. I love this passage of scripture. Let me read it to you. It says, all praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he's the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. Let me see. I think I have it here. Here it is. Look at all the places in yellow there where it mentions the word comfort. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, all of our difficulties, I'm reading from the wrong one. He's the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. He's always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them the same comfort that God's poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own sufferings, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. If trouble weighs us down, that just means we'll receive even more comfort to pass on to you for your deliverance. For the comfort pouring into us empowers us to bring comfort to you. Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. So what are the steps to emotional healing? Bring your pain to Jesus. Bring your pain to Jesus, please. Don't let it continue to eat away at the inside of your heart and your life. Don't let it continue to define you. Don't let it continue to limit you. Don't let it be a lid in your life. Don't just grow to that level of emotional pain. Let Jesus be your healer. One of the first little books I read when I went to seminary, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, was a powerful little book by Helmut Thielicke. He's a German theologian. It was a powerful little book. It was called The Wounded Healer. And basically the premise was that Jesus was wounded to become our healer. And we've all experienced wounds. And we can ultimately become someone else's healer. That passage, I don't know if you noticed all the times it said comfort. Listen. When you let Jesus heal your pain, there's whatever he's doing in you, whatever God's doing in you, he's preparing you to do in somebody else. It's not just about God healing your scars. It's about God using you to heal other people's scars. See, your scars don't disqualify you. They actually qualify you. No one can help someone through a drug addiction like someone who has walked through it themselves. No one can help somebody out of alcoholism like someone who's walked through it themselves. Nobody can help someone out of pornography like somebody who's been freed from it themselves. See, the enemy always tries to shame us, get us to hide, because things grow, not good things, in the dark. He wants us to bring it to light, Jesus does, so that the shame will be lifted, so that we can show our scars, and our scars can become places of healing for others. We're all messed up, but Jesus loves us and he's doing his transforming work in us daily. We're not perfect people, but we're following a perfect Savior. And he's got a plan and a purpose for even your deepest wounds. So bring your pain to him. Let God's word speak supreme truth over your scars. Where the enemies whispered those messages of you're unworthy, let God speak to you and say, no, 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 no. You're my son or my daughter. I loved you so much, I went to the cross for you. The cross should have the final word, folks. Jesus paid it all for you. Number three, forgive everybody who's hurt you or scarred you in any way, including yourself. And find the people with redeemed pain to help you. What do I mean by that? Listen, right here sitting among you today are people who've been delivered from all kinds of sin. They've been involved in a lot of the same things that you might be struggling with. They've walked through it. They've been there. They've experienced the torment of it. And they're on the other side and it's glorious. And they'd like to help you. And then number five, surrender your scar to help others. I'm a scarred person, but I'm not going to hide my scars. My scars are points of healing. They're places of God's redemption. Christ has healed those places of betrayal and hurt within me. If you will surrender them, you'll be amazed how your life can help others too. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? We're going to pray as we close our time together today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want you to take a moment. It's kind of a personal, private moment. And I'm just going to invite you to surrender those scars to Jesus today. Surrender those hurts. He's the wounded healer. He's been through it all and he did it just for you. He wants to take your scars and your wounds today and heal them so that you can be a help and a blessing to others, so that you can live with freedom and hope. If that's you today, I would invite you to pray something like this right now. Just say, "Dear God, I surrender today. I've tried lots of things and they haven't really worked. I've failed in lots of ways. And I just really need your help. Please forgive me. I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up in lots of ways. I need your forgiveness. I need your love today, every day. Would you come and live in me? Would you live through me? Would you make my life different from this day forward? Would you show me how I can become a wounded healer for others? I thank you for what you've done for me. In Jesus' name. Amen." If you prayed that today, I hope you'll let somebody know.
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.